The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Mates Radio. Your chance to have your say, because it's an open line all day today through till 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. So whatever it is that's trying to get out of your head to tell the world, then by all means do. It could be serious, it could be frivolous, whatever it is, then call. You're on the air, 7 minutes past 12, and the decision by Milan Vets to stop providing farm veterinary care from the 30th of November. That's quick, isn't it? Just a little over 2 weeks, citing a long-term drop in farm clients and a wider decline in pastoral farming on the Isle of Man, which is causing problems. It's estimated that Milan Vets serves about 90% of the Isle of Man's livestock. And the farming community is somewhat apprehensive about all this. I've got a note in from Owen, who said, this bishop's vote thing that's been put off, this isn't an attack on religion. This is a democratic issue, says Owen. Really? I don't know whether the politicians have actually thought this through, or are they just determined not to do the difficult stuff on the Isle of Man, i.e., make sure that there is enough revenue coming in from commercial activity to fund our public services. Because if we don't get enough money, they can pontificate as much as they want. We just won't be able to do anything. And spending all this time on the bishop's vote, really, is this just camouflage because they don't know what they're doing? Well, I'm sure they disagree, Owen. But thank you for your opinion today. Let's go to Sue with us now. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Andy. You're a busy boy these days, aren't you? I tried to get on yesterday, but you were too busy.
I don't know whether it's half-time, high tide, or early closing most days.
Yeah, or all of the above. Michelle Haywood, she was in on Monday. I only heard part of the programme, but the bit I did hear was the chap who was saying that the road in Santon is in such bad condition,
yeah,
and it hasn't been mended. And everybody was saying that it's been in that sort of condition for years. And her reply to him was along the lines of, well, we know it's in bad condition, we know it needs doing, but it needs to be closed for 9 months. The government have... what's the word I'm looking for? They're not happy about closing it for 9 months, and also they've heard from the emergency services that they wouldn't be happy if it was closed for 9 months. But where does it stop? I mean, do they just leave it and leave it and leave it until it gets into such condition that nobody can use it?
Well, she seemed to intimate that it's on the list. I mean, the first thing that's got to happen is the Balfane roundabout. Which, of course, is flooded today. People are water skiing there, apparently. So she said it's on the list. And the fact is that that's a really important road. It's a bit of a chicane there. And you're either having to go via the Old Castle Town Road or the Braid and through St Mark's. But, of course, HGVs can't go through the Old Castle Town Road because they can't get by Kroger. You just couldn't do it. So, I mean, they surely must have a plan of what's going to happen. It's just that it's going to be a wee while, and let's hope in the meantime nothing happens.
Well, exactly, because she was intimating that the emergency services have got trepidations about that road being shut for 9 months. But as I say, where does it stop? Because if you don't repair it, and then if the emergency services try to use it when it's in a really bad condition and it slows their response times down, then you're talking about emergency services not being able to get to people and conditions that need them there very quickly. Or you're just talking about mending a road that needs mending and the emergency services being able to get there very, very quickly after it has been mended. I mean, they can't have it both ways. I get the impression that this current government is just kicking the heels now until the next vote in September, because they understand what a mess they've made of the island over the last 4 and a bit years, and they understand that there are big things that need doing that they're not prepared to put their hands up for, and they're just going to leave a whole lot of mess for the next lot that are voted in and let them try and sort the mess out, which I sincerely hope they can, because this island, bless it, it's on its knees. It's a sad state of affairs at the moment.
I mean, Sue, you sound a bit cynical about this.
I am cynical about the government, Andy, because nobody can believe them anymore. It's like Duan was saying yesterday, they're not listening to the people, they're not doing what the people want. They're just going ahead on their own little sweet little way, doing what they want, spending lots of our money on projects that, even if the project needs doing, they're spending lots of money and then having to spend lots more because they're not doing them correctly in the first place. So, you know, it's one of those. They've been a very bad government for this island, and the quicker we can get them out, the better. Now,
you've got to be careful what you wish for, Sue, because you never know, the next lot
might be worse.
Well, you don't know, do you? We genuinely don't know.
You don't know. And I mean, there was a chap, I can't remember his name, but he was on the radio saying that he wants to be voted in because he can reduce the amount of tax we pay. He can build us all these new houses. He can do this, that and the other and wave a magic wand. And when somebody asked him how he was going to do that, he said, oh, I can't tell you that because somebody else might. Well, no, that's not the way to do it. You tell us how you're going to do all these miracles and create all this housing and reduce our tax payout and everything like that. You might believe it. But while people are sort of saying, oh, well, I've got all these wonderful, marvellous ideas that all, you know, it'll put the island right and everything will be beautifully wonderful after that, but I can't tell you how I'm going to do it, then nobody's going to believe you. And also, I sent you an email a while ago about a Freedom of Information Act or Freedom of Information thing that I asked for.
Crikey, Sue, that was fun, trying to decipher all that stuff about how many people had come and gone and in between and what have you.
How many new jobs? Yeah, that's all I asked for. How many new jobs have been created, brand new jobs have been created in the last 5 financial years after a statement that Alf Cannon made in one of these We're Listening to You meetings, that 1,800 jobs have been created and 450 of those were based around the NHS, the health service. Now, I asked for that. And as you've seen yourself, the reply came back. Basically, they said, we don't know, because their system was to create a unique reference number for a position that was not created as brand new. But say somebody was in a full-time post and they needed to go on maternity or paternity leave, as an example, then the person coming in to replace them was given a unique reference number. Now, that wouldn't be a brand new job. It was already a current job in existence. But because they created a different unique reference number, that was then piled onto their figures of this is a job. So they've got all these unique reference numbers of different jobs. Say if a position turned from full-time to 2 part-time, then they would have 2 new unique reference numbers for those 2 part-time jobs. And the already existing full-time unique reference number wouldn't be deleted from their system. So they don't know how many new positions were created over 5 years. So I don't know where Alf Cannon got his figures from.
But
and
surely,
yes, it was interesting reading.
But surely they know how many, I mean, the unique reference numbers aside, they know how many people are on the payroll and how many people used to be on the payroll. That's simple, isn't it? If you, whether or not these are permanent jobs, whatever they are, we know how, they'll know how many extra people are in government or how many fewer people are in government.
You would think they do, but from the sounds of it, they don't. And I mean, if they don't know what's going on, how are we supposed to know what's going on? And in turn, how are we supposed to trust them? If they're tying themselves up in systems that don't make sense, and if they're tying themselves and us up in red tape, and spending lots of money that we don't really want spending on the projects that they are spending them on, then how are we supposed to trust them? How are we supposed to trust the system? It's not just the MHKs. The MHKs are voices and the people who are supposed to crack the whips and make people get on with things. But as I say, I think they're delaying because there will be a new vote in September and they're just leaving all the messiness to the next poor lot that comes in. I nearly swore then. But yeah, they're just leaving it all for them to sort out.
Are you an optimist by nature, Sue?
I am, yes. Okay, and this is testing me.
Are you optimistic about the future?
I'm always optimistic about this island, Andy, because it's a beautiful place. But while we've got this particular government in, there isn't a lot of hope. And, you know, I just want September to come round so we can vote them out, get rid of them, get a new lot in, and tell them straight down the line, this is what we want you to do. This is what you have to do. You have to sort this. You have to sort that. And all the other stupid things that they're looking at all the time, such as the bishop's vote, they can be done on a sunny day when everybody can go and play. You know, it's just so stupid, all these deviations that they keep throwing up, and it just makes all the important stuff go into the background. And like I say, they are delaying and delaying and delaying because they know they've made a mess. They know they're not going to be voted back in. There might be one or two that are voted back in, but the majority of them, I'm afraid it's going to be bye-bye time for them, and I think they know it.
Okay, Sue, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Okay, cheers, Andy.
Bye-bye now, 17 minutes past 12. Manx Will said, Andy, have you noticed how many acres of our forestry have been sacrificed and sold off the Isle of Man? Why aren't any of them for us? How much money has been raised and how much damage is it doing to wildlife, into the biosphere, into drainage water? Is it flooding? Is this because some of the roads are flooded, blocked due to bad drainage systems, no trees to soak up the water away? It's not rocket science, says Will. Well, the thing is, Will, they are plantations, the ones that are, I mean, apart from the dead elm trees, those aside, the plantations are what they say, they're plantations. They are there as a commercial crop. So they will cut them down after a certain amount of time. And presumably they're getting a lot more money for selling them off the Isle of Man. They're going through Ramsey, aren't they? Those big metal girders are holding them together there. So they're going off the Isle of Man. Is it true? I mean, the skeet is that they're going to be turned into what they call cellulose pellets, wood pellets to burn at Drax Power Station or somewhere like that. We don't know how much has been made. Obviously, that's a DEFA business, but presumably that at some point will be on the accountant sheet. But point taken. Thanks for that. But it's just best to remember they are plantations and they are to be harvested. Mark's with us now. Hi, Mark.
Oh, good morning. Or should say good afternoon. What it is... fuel prices. I've been watching over the last several months, and probably early in June or July, the price of Brent crude was $80 a barrel. It's now down to $645 a barrel. Yeah, from the high price range to what we're at today, we haven't seen any reduction in fuel prices. I'm wondering if you have a contact somewhere who might be able to give us a logical answer to that, because I know fuel goes up and down, but, you know, it seems to be consistently around the mid-$650 or $65 a barrel. And we're not seeing any benefits from it. So maybe you could pose that question to one of your contacts. And
well, I'll tell you what the answer is. Somebody somewhere is taking a big slice.
Well, yes. That's obvious, isn't it? But, you know, is it Ellen Vanning Fuels or whoever supplies the petrol stations on the islands? Somebody's filling the back pocket quite nicely.
Is it much different on the Isle of Man to across? Is it that much cheaper there?
Yes, it is. I was over to Birmingham last month, and the fuel price was, let's see, about 29 or 30 pence a litre, depending where you shopped, obviously, and because the supermarkets do special offers and whatnot, which we're not party to. But, yeah, it's about 5 pence a litre difference. And I know the argument comes up, oh, well, we've got to get it here. Well, when you look at the refineries across, you've got Stanlow, which presumably the Manx supply comes from, and there are other ones up and down the country. And there's still a delivery cost there. But when a tanker comes in, it's not bringing 18 tonnes of fuel. I don't know how many thousand litres that is in a 40-foot tanker. But a tank vessel, has got to bring in more than a couple of vehicles worth. You know, you can see the tanks down at the harbour there. Yeah. They are massive. They hold millions of litres. So it still comes back to the question, why aren't we seeing a reduction? They're quick enough. If the price of crude went up $3 a barrel, oh, they put the prices up at the pump. Right? So you're paying for fuel at a higher rate, which they've already got in stock. And they buy fuel at forward prices rather than we pay as you get it. I'm just thinking, you know, somebody somewhere is making a nice shilling or two, and maybe it ought to be passed on to the public in general, because this does have a reflection on the cost of living, which our politicians seem to be quite keen on reducing. But, you know, why don't they go and agitate it, the pond, and let's say, look, lads, let's have a reduction in fuel.
Okay, all right. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
I'll leave that with you. Thanks, Andy.
All right, 23 minutes past 12. Anybody knows, then by all means, do get in touch if we can get to the bottom of all that. I don't know what the margin is. They always say that the margin in fuel isn't much. And obviously that's why most of the petrol stations sell a lot of other things to get people through. But it will be interesting to know. And certainly the proportion of the raw materials will be a small part of the cost of the refined stuff at the end. And everybody puts their money onto it. Be interesting to know. Martin's on now. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
Following on from what your previous caller, Sue, was saying about the DOI and the state of the roads, I've been driving backwards and forwards between Peel and Kirkmichael following the accidents that have happened at the Devil's Elbow. I think there's been four there now in the last 3 months, and one young fellow sadly lost his life. Do you recollect those?
Go on.
Yeah. At the Devil's Elbow, there's a series of chevrons there, and where the vehicle's gone through, it just hasn't been repaired. The DOI have left it in a disgraceful, dangerous state, and vehicles just continue to go through the same place. There's obviously a problem at that location, but it's not a problem that can't be engineered away. But they've just completely ignored it, and all they've done is fix the wire fence behind the chevrons. It seems to have, some years ago, they put new chevrons in there that were really bright, and when your headlights hit them, you really knew they were there.
Yeah.
But then there's been no continued maintenance of them, and they got worse and worse, and eventually they just ended up looking like sticks sticking up, similar to something on the Poor Town Road. But the DOI is ignoring the issue and not, you know, we're just waiting for the next accident to happen there. I brought it up with Tim Cookall a couple of weeks ago, and his take on it was the DOI are very reluctant to do the repairs because it seems like they're admitting some sort of liability, and that's just a crazy argument.
Seems like they're admitting liability.
Yep, that was so. If they're seen to do something, it sounds like the accident that happened there was their fault, and they admitted liability by not doing anything. It's a crazy situation, but they need to pull the finger out and get it fixed. It's not an expensive fix, but as it stands at the moment, there's a couple of bits of plastic there and some barbed wire behind it, and it's an accident waiting to happen.
My word, and certainly, as you mentioned, there can be tragic consequences of that.
Absolutely. You know, and it can be engineered away. In my previous life, I was one of the road policing sergeants, and I do know about this sort of thing. And, you know, it is a spot that can be sorted, but there has to be a willingness to do it.
Okay. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling today. 26 minutes past 12. The, the devil's elbow, it's that hairpin, as we were saying, between Peel and Kurt Michael. Well. And it hasn't been fixed. Crikey. Any thoughts on anything? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. So how many acres of our forestry have been sold off and sacrificed? Well, we'll try and find out, Maxwell. We will try and find out. All this torrential rain and high winds we've been having and an increasing frequency is clearly a result of climate change, says Barry. So we need to get the wind turbines sharpish for everybody's benefit. So we'll see. The situation regarding the MyCards is coming to an end isn't acceptable. Why should we be told to take it or leave it by the minister? Because it makes life easy for him, says Tony. Well, I don't think he's doing it on a personal level, Tony. I do take the point. But they've decided, and this was quite a while ago that this happened. However, lots of people prefer cash. But bearing in mind, a lot of the post officers are going. That's that situation. But lots of people are getting in touch. I think, is it 900 people still haven't got an alternative sorted out yet? New homes anywhere on the Isle of Man for young people to get their foot on the housing ladder has to be a good thing. But as a caveat, no home should be allowed to be available for rent until at least 5 years after purchase. Maybe this will stop wealthy people who are just buying up houses as an investment without a care in the world about our young people, says Pam. Maybe that's something the politicians could get their heads around now. Well, Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello, yes, fuel prices. You know who are the people who are making all the money from good fuel prices or high fuel prices, don't you?
Well, the government don't do badly out of it.
Yes. Well done, that man. Yes, 10 out of 10. Yes, that's the point. Of course, as you know, government not only receives fuel duty on a gallon of petrol, but also, of course, receives VAT on top of that. And so the higher the base price, then the more duty and VAT you're going to receive. So that's why governments, paradoxically, like high fuel prices. And if you're a regime like ours, which relies a lot on indirect taxation, I think it's about 50% of government revenue is via indirect taxes, and VAT I think is a third of that, then anything that makes those numbers bigger, you know, is great. But there are larger pressures on that. I mean, trying to compare Elenbenin fuels with the supermarkets, for example. I mean, the supermarkets can order fuel in vast quantities and grab discounts on that. But also, of course, because it has the economies of scale, it can actually have a small margin on that. Rather than Elenbenin fuels, who, of course, will be ordering a smaller amount of fuel. And because they don't have the economies of scale, their costs are going to be higher. So they have to have a higher margin on the petrol in order, or diesel, in order to keep going.
Yeah.
And also, of course, the supermarket cite those or sell petrol at that sort of discounted rate for another reason, because it encourages people to come to their supermarkets. And you know, they can then use the exit through the gift shop principle. People come in, do their shopping, and then they look at their fuel gauge and go, oh dear, I think I need to fill up. And then they look at the cheaper price at the at the petrol station, which is the way out. And so, oh right, I'll pull in and I'll fill up. So you know, more money for supermarkets, happy joy for them. But as local petrol stations and retailers anywhere near one of the large supermarkets in the UK will tell you. So it's a complicated business, and how to address it. Now, I think the Scots government has some kind of subsidy for fuel prices for the outlying islands, you know, for the Western Isles, because of course that's you know, that's going to have similar problems. But when it comes, as I say, to us, I think possibly people will go, oh yes, it's dreadful for the cost of living, but the government needs the money, thank you.
Well, I'm sure they do need the money, Bonzo. I'm sure they're very happy to get it. All right.
Good to hear.
All right, good to hear from you. Thanks for that.
Okay, cheers. Bye.
We still haven't asked. Thank you, Roy. Ray. We haven't asked whether the meat on the Isle of Man is halal from the Douglas Meat Plant. We've asked them. We put a message in, Ray, to find out whether the meat plant is halal meat. We'll try and find that. Why do, one thing that's bugged me for years, says Gary, why does the government and the education people build our schools next to very busy roads, putting children's health at risk, breathing in harmful particles from exhaust fumes and other things like brake dust? Not also to forget, you know, possibly being hit by a vehicle. Well, I'm trying to think, when's the last time a new school was built? QE2, was it possibly? The large school anyway, so, and that's always been next to the road. I don't know, really. Building, Bemmer Hague's in the middle of nowhere, isn't it? You have to struggle to find Bemmer Hague. Let's have a look here. Oh, Milan Vet apparently is part of a huge shareholder company which is there to make money. Isle of Man farmers have been very faithful to the vets, says Alan. This is a story. If you're in agriculture, you'll know all about this. Milan Vets are stopping providing farm veterinary services from the 30th of this month, citing a long-term drop in farm clients and a wider decline in pastoral farming on the Isle of Man. Well, Paul Costain, the farmer, who reckons the practice serves about 90%, 9 out of 10 of the island's livestock, is urging Milan Vets to reconsider.
It's such short notice that everything is up in the air. There may be other practices that could take on the clients, but they tend to be small animal clients with maybe one or two customers. I would say Milan, their farm agricultural veterinary division, covers probably at least 90% of the island's equine and farm animals.
Milan says demand for its farm services has been falling. Do you think that necessarily reflects what you're seeing on the ground?
It reflects that farmers are actually doing a bloody good job of what we've been told to do, and that's look at the herd health, take bloods from the animals, treat things before they actually happen. So we followed all that. And as I said, they're probably looking at the sale of antibiotics and thinking, well, they're falling simply because they're falling, because farmers are doing a damn good job.
What would you like to see happen next? Because farmers without vet support will presumably be looking for other practices.
Reverse that decision. If not, these are people maybe who don't understand. Well, I'm sure they must do. They've been in the business for a long time. They must have discussed it and decided to make that decision. But surely to God, give us 6 months to try and work something out, but not just suddenly drop it with 3 weeks. So if the decision hasn't been reversed, then I'm sure individuals will either set up their own practice, which they will get the support from the farmers without any shadow of a doubt. We're very loyal, and this is how the loyalty has been repaid.
Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture said they're aware of the announcement made on Monday, and they're holding talks with veterinary practices and industry representatives to ensure that animal welfare is maintained. Milan Vets told us it didn't affect the small animal and equine services in Douglas, Onchan, Ramsey, Peel or Castletown.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Have your say. The Council of Ministers has accepted a proposal for an offshore wind farm off the Isle of Man for examination. Take part in a public consultation and tell us what you think about the application from Moore Vannin Offshore Wind Farm Limited. Go online at mima.gov.im to find out more. You can also respond directly at consult.gov.im. If you prefer paper, collect and return response forms at Third Floor Government Offices, Bucks Road, Douglas. Read the application online and at Douglas City and Ramsey Town Libraries. The consultation closes at midnight, 18th of November. It's time to have your say.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Diabetes Isle of Man exists to support everyone living with or affected by diabetes, including parents, carers, family members, and friends of those living with the condition. You can follow us on all social media channels at Diabetes IOM. Or if you can help, please visit diabetesisleofman.com to find out more.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
There's monkeys and meerkats, penguins galore. You can meet with a panda, owls, lemurs and more. Then discover what makes the animals tick. A wild day out that starts with a click.
The Currox Wildlife Park is a must visit for all the family. And our online booking system lets you buy annual memberships, book animal experiences, even adopt an animal. Perfect as a gift too. Visit CurraxWildlifePark.im now to get started.
Go wild at the Currox Wildlife Park.
For a merry Manx Christmas, give a gift that keeps on giving. From days out to gifts handmade on the Isle of Man. There's something for everyone at the Manx Museum and House of Mananan Heritage Shops, where every purchase helps care for our incredible island. Also available online at manxnationalheritage.im.
Today at 5:30, it's Jacques Lay.
I went through rainbows and brownies and guides, so it's really nice for me as a former girl guide to go back and inject a little bit of what I love.
Somebody put up a new lamp standard with the three legs on it, and I think we're about to go to press. I need a new photograph of what it is now.
The Peveril Hotel's gone and the Villiers Hotel is gone.
Find out more at 5:30 today in Chachelet.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Fast am I. It's 22 minutes before one. It was nice to hear what Sue was saying, highlighting sensible things that people need in their daily lives. But politicians say they'll do lots in their manifestos, but backtrack all too often and break election promises. This is a WhatsApper from the UK saying in the UK the government's preparing to do that in their November budget. I wish people on the Isle of Man good luck in next year's election. Well, talking of that, the budget in the UK is on Wednesday the 26th. The day after, the Treasury Minister is going to be on Man in Line. So Dr. Allenson will be here Thursday 27th reacting to that UK election, the UK budget, and see if there are any implications for us. We'll wait and we'll see. David's with us now. Hello, David.
Hi, Randy. And I was at the vehicle testing centre this morning, just recently, actually. And I've just, when I was going past there and I'm getting my vehicle checked out, the guy said to me at near there, he said, what's happened to the old vehicle testing centre? Which brought it to my mind when the Chief Minister, when Mr. Crookle then changed jobs or dropped off, went to the back benches. Mr. Cannon said he was going to take over the portfolio, which he'd already done some of the work, and there were to be savings to be had. Now, I just wonder whether we could have the Chief Minister on to say, where are we at the present time with all these savings that we've going to get, or we'll implement them, and when is it going to start? And I just throw in, because our fellows talked to a couple of fellows at the garage there, and they were saying about in Laxey, when they bought, I think it was DEFA, or could have been the Water Authorities or Manx Utilities, bought the Garwick Glen complex for whatever money that was, and it's not getting used for sewerage works, so they're going out somewhere different now. So that's in the portfolio, and all these pubs we've got, Summerland, an old school which is still lying there, uses to sell old vehicles on, and all these other things that we've got in our portfolio, at least it would make us some money and make us, you know, we may get some developers to come in and do something.
Well, you would hope so. Well, hang on. I mean, you're Mr. Onken then. What's happening to the old House Drake Hotel site? Has anybody got any planning on that? Is there anything ever going to happen on Harbour Road?
No. I would think so. I'm not just talking personally now. I don't want to think. The guy, as far as I know, the gentleman that owns it is, I'm going to be cruel, worth a few bob. So he's going to wait till he wants to do something. We missed the opportunity about 5 or 6 years ago when there could have been a small development there. And the problem is, if you've got land and people have land or they've speculated for the future, which I don't mind. Everybody does that, don't they? You know, you buy a house and you buy it in a cul-de-sac and you think no, nothing's ever going to happen, but you never know. And a little criticism got on you. Bemahag is a beautiful school. I was involved in that when I was a politician.
It is. It's just, it's just a bit of a trek to get there.
No, no, it's not on the main road. Well, it is on the back side of it because it goes down the Governor's Dip and whatever. But the only saddest thing about that, our government, we've got not one solar panel on any public building. I'd like somebody to come on to me and say, David, you're wrong. We've got this, that and the other. I remember Stu Peters saying he was going to have it on the post office. They're buying all these electric vehicles. The Corby of, or the city there is buying all these electric vehicles. Where is the charging units for all these things? I was talking to a fella a couple of months ago, and I won't mention his name totally on it, but he runs a business in Scotland, or he has involved in a business in Scotland there, which designs these charging stations. And do you remember the one that was going to go down at the airport?
Oh, yes.
But I've never seen a tender for that. I wish this government would tender. You never know who's operating in the Isle of Man or got connections with something else somewhere in the UK or whatever, in Ireland or whatever, which could actually tender for the work and give us an opportunity. I always say to, if you can't supply it or you're the agent for it, and I'll give an example on that for tractors, right? Because there's a few tractors, people on the island, but they're not all the big tractors. But if somebody's wanting this, that or the other, you ask the agent, don't you, for it? If you're the agent for something, you just ask the agent, can you listen, just give us a quote. That's what this government's not doing all the time.
Chief Minister's on a fortnight next Monday, December 1st.
Right, okay, so I've given prior notice if he's listening or one of his agents are listening. I'm sure somebody will tell him. But we need to know how much savings there was going to happen, because Tim had done some work, and I'm led to believe done some work on it, so there were quick fixes. And the population want to see it. And I'll just say to the lady who was on, listen, I'm born and bred in the Isle of Man, and I don't care what anybody says about that. I love the place, and we all want to make it secure. But like that lady said, we need to get some of the things next September, okay?
All right, thanks for calling today.
See you, boy.
Cheers. So it's a fortnight today. Dr. Allenson will be on reacting to the UK budget. That's Thursday, 27th. And the following Monday, the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, MHK, will be on Man in Line. The DOI didn't fix the wire at the Devil's Elbow. I did, as the livestock in the field belonged to me. I have to fix the fence every time. The emergency services and DOI don't even contact me, says Trevor, to let me know that there's been an accident and the boundary fence has been trashed. Is that so? On Sunday, Remembrance Sunday at 11 o'clock, the street in Douglas went into silence. It was great to see then, to be a part of it, until a street cleaner was walking up the street from Douglas Corporation, Douglas City Council, with a very loud speaker with music playing. He must have seen everybody with their heads down and hats off. He just carried on like it didn't matter. It's a shame, really. People in the street were mad about it. Didn't want to make a scene at the time because of the nature of the silence, says Barry. Is this true? Were you there? And a message in that says, Andy, the... let me see... Government, this is about Bonzo's comment on the tax that the government weekly fuel prices show. The Isle of Man fuel prices and the UK ones are broadly similar, e.g. October unleaded 134 to 135p and cost without taxes 59 to 60p. So I wonder if this subsidises green policies. If so, will the Isle of Man charge per mile for electric vehicles as the UK intends to do? Ah, didn't see that one coming, did they? Last year there were Oh, this is a UK figure. Fuel prices. Wasn't a report done a few years ago that pointed out that the amount of petrol stations on the Isle of Man per capita is way above the usual for, say, the population of a town or a city of 85,000 people? I'd love cheaper fuel, but that was a fair point that they made, says Phil S. It has to be said that we do have quite a few petrol stations, and we are in a situation when our geographical situation puts constraints on the people who sell fuel. That's all I'll say. Obviously, the margin of profit on fuel is relatively small. Relatively small. And remember, everybody has to be paid. All the staff have to be paid. Some stations are open till 12 at night. Obviously, there's the Peel Road station, which is 24 hours. So heaven knows how they make a profit in the middle of the night. It's almost a public service. So we'll see. But Bonzo makes the fair point about the fact the government does take a fair old rake in duty and VAT.
Deck the halls and delight the senses with Sorale this Christmas. Explore our best ever range of Christmas gift ideas for everyone that smell as incredible as they look. All handcrafted in-house and on our island. There's nothing like a luxurious gift that lingers longer than the holiday season. Visit us in-store or go online at sorale.in and use the code CHRISTMAS for a special online discount. Gift beautifully and thoughtfully this Christmas with Sorale.
I'd love a colourful glass splashback in the kitchen ready for Christmas and a new mirror in the ensuite for our guests. I know, I can get both at Manx Glass and Glazing. Mum suggested a large glass tabletop so we can all fit round for our Christmas Day feast. And I need cut-to-size picture frame glass for some personalised Christmas gifts. I'll get all this and more at Manx Glass and Glazing on Snugborough Trading Estate. Just a quick call with my measurements on 674 573. Manx Glass and Glazing. Here I come for Christmas.
When couples decide to part, there's a lot to deal with. There's the matter of the children, the matter of your property, the matter of pensions. You need to consider the matter of existing wills, and perhaps the matter of a business. And because you matter, Mann Benham Advocates are here for you when it comes to divorce and family matters. For help and advice and a free initial consultation, call Mann Benham on 639 350.
Mann Benham, here for you.
Tis the season to be jolly at the Manin Hotel. This December, celebrate with friends and family at one of our fabulous festive lunches. Three courses just £35, with mince pies and tea or coffee included. Whether a cosy catch-up for two or a larger group gathering, just get in touch and the Manin will arrange the perfect booking for you. Call 602-555 or make an inquiry at maninhotel.im. You really do get more from the Manin this Christmas.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
11 minutes before one, Liftman says, why can't they build a new road at Santon and go from by the ferry bridge corner to corner? Oh, I see, and straighten it out, make a brand new road, and then they got plenty of time to look at that railway bridge. It's a thought, isn't it? But of course, that would take a consultant's report, wouldn't it? And planning would go on for years where that's concerned. Lots of garages, few car washers, says WhatsApper 110. And who keeps breaking the one at the Wessex? That's what I'd like to know. Stephen's with us now. Hello, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. I wonder what the greater public think and our MHKs think about the fact that the Penny Mobile Bank, which served the south of the island and the west of the island, has now been completely withdrawn. There was gossip and skeet about it being withdrawn, but it has been withdrawn. And I note that Alex Allenson, the Treasury Minister, is urging people on benefits or pensioners to let government know if they can't get a bank account. Well, that gave me a chuckle, because I thought, well, heaven's sake, never mind get a bank account. There's no bank. There is simply no bank accounts from Castletown, right up the west coast, right up past all the small settlements on the west coast, through Peel and Ramsey. And no one seems to be caring or asking questions or seeing what can be done. And as I say, Alex Allison is saying, well, let us know if you can't get a bank account. We'll try and help you. But what's the point? There is no banks. There is no banking facilities. But what is interesting, Andy and listeners, is that in the UK, they have, from the Financial Conduct Authority, and that is a government regulation, they have introduced regulations to ensure that remote communities where they don't have access to cash can have access to cash. And I'll read the relevant point. The FCA has introduced new access to cash regulations to ensure free and convenient access to cash across the UK. These regulations implemented under the financial services and market require large banks and building societies to access customer cash. Access needs an act to maintain service, and that could include using posters. Well, why are we lost in this, where some MHKs are quick to want to introduce UK legislation, but where it comes and is a benefit to ordinary people who may not be internet savvy or want to spend money on a new phone, there's nothing being done. What is the responsibilities within our Financial Supervision Commission? Is there any regulations within that, or is it running scared and not wanting to upset the banks with their imposing regulations on them, Andy? So I pose these questions. Hopefully, maybe in the next couple of days or when you have other politicians on, they can come along and explain, or even you could even ask the head of the Financial Supervision Commission, Isle of Man, to come on and tell us why there's no regulations to ensure that there's access to cash in our rural communities and smaller towns.
Just before you go, one thing I can tell you, you know why Penny's been retired, don't you?
Well, all things wear out, and I would have thought it's the responsibility of these big organisations to spend some more money out of the services and renew it.
Well, I mean, things fall apart. She was second hand when she came here. She'd been working in the Highlands of Scotland. So I think it was the island head at the time. I think it was Bill Shimmins, who was head of Royal Bank of Scotland then, who got her over from Scotland, and you know, to big furore the fact that she was here. But half the time recently, she's been off the road.
Well, that is the very reason why less people have been using it. So if you don't have a facility, then say, oh, we've had to withdraw it because no one's using it. The blessed thing has not been there for people to use. So I just find it absolutely astounding that I sometimes wonder, is the problem that we have a lot of UK civil servants are coming and think, what are you complaining about? The island's only 13 miles by 11. It's easy to get here, there and everywhere, but it's not if you're getting elderly, and it's not if you haven't got the time. When you're in the west, you may be working, or the south, and even in the northern plain,
right,
that so, you can't get access to these things. It's not the responsibility of the ordinary person to ask these questions. This is what we elect MHKs for, and it would appear that they're either running out of steam, don't know what questions to ask, or couldn't be bothered, and I wonder which one it is.
Oh, I see. It's that old UK civil service trope, we're coming over here to educate the natives.
Absolutely. I wonder, is it that? But I also wonder, from our politicians, do they sometimes don't know what questions to ask, don't think it's any responsibility of theirs, or couldn't be bothered? I just wonder which it is. But all I'm asking is, Why can't our Financial Supervision Commission come on and explain what our regulations are? Are they lacking in these access to cash regulations? Do they need further strengthening to ensure that they say to our banks, look, you've got to provide, you've got to all fund, you collectively as a group have got to fund these mobile banks, or we've got to have a proper discussion with the post office instead of the post office again looking the other way and it's giving us the nothing to do with us, mate, we're not involved with banking. But there's no collective thoughts about this, Andy.
Okay, all right, Stephen, we appreciate that. Those messages have been heard loud and clear. A note in from 004 says, Andy, the police are holding a winter vehicle check, yet two petrol stations in Ramsey, neither of the tyre pressure machines are working, so wouldn't it be a good idea if the police checked with all petrol stations if their machines work, so drivers can keep a check on their tyre pressure, especially during the wet winter weather. And Pat says, Andy, all new cars and vans are fitted with DPF systems that shouldn't be driven at low speeds for long periods. Too many 20-mile-per-hour zones will cause vehicles to fail and need costly repairs, so owners possibly might remove the DPFs, making them illegal. Will the government reduce road tax to cover this DPF environmental issue? I can tell you in one word, Pat, no. Thanks to Alexi on the phones today. Back tomorrow, open line.
WINT.